Blog Talk Radio.
I will get that shut off one of these days. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. Evening. It's good to have you with us, wherever you're joining us around the world tonight. 44 nations in all. And we're glad to have you with us right here on this program. We say on a regular basis, if there's any way we can help you translate what we do into your native language, then I would encourage you get in touch with me, because I want to be that blessing to you. Because we want to help people all over the world to be able to connect to this message of faith and the spirit of faith that is there and available for everyone. And thank you for your faith that is continually with us in all that we do. Those of you on YouTube Live and Facebook Live, welcome, 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 welcome. It's always good to have you with us and all that we got going on around here. Somewhere here is a Facebook Messenger link. There you guys are. And we'll share this, and then we're going to kick this thing off. Tonight I'm going to be sharing with you Dr. Bill Winston. Now I want you to hear how this is going to go. How this is going to go is we're going to turn this on, and we're going to study with this. And then I want you to take good notes, because we're going to come back after that study, and we're going to hit it again between you and I after the man of God has shared the message that God gave him. And as we do that, greater revelation is going to come to us. So I encourage you to make sure you take good notes tonight. And it's going to be a great, great lesson for us here today in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody's up and running. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt for one of the wildest rides in the church today. It's one of those rides through the body of Christ and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, that ain't what we was trying to do. That is unlike any other. And I love how God very specifically has such different gifts and callings in the body of Christ. I love it. And I love all of them. And I love Brother John Hagee's. Somebody give me a big amen. Or no, wait, what's he say? Glory to the Lamb of God. I love John Hagee's glory to the Lamb of God. Rod Parsley's another one of those crazy nuts of the kingdom. And so is Dr. Winston and his church. Now, I'm a little more friendly with Dr. Winston because Sister Leanne and I go there on a regular basis, going back and forth to Michigan to North Dakota. And we stop in. And there ain't no better group of believers to hang out with than that group of believers. And mighty men and women of God making a difference in one of the most corrupt places in our whole nation and radically changing their world in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I do believe I have it ready. Now, here we go. I better turn this one on first.
Can you say glory to God? Lift up our hands to heaven. Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the anointing that's on this house, on the leadership, on me and these lips of clay, that I do speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Asking you to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word shall come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles
And
are you kidding me?
Probably two.
Oh, glory to God. Can you say glory to God? Lift up our hands to heaven. Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the anointing that's on this house, on the leadership, on me and these lips of clay, that I do speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Asking you to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word shall come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And that signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow the word preached. We thank you. Call it done in Jesus' name. And somebody shout amen. Take your seats, please. Take your seats. Well, have you been getting something out of the word? Glory to God. Is Brother Boise here tonight? Amen. Stand up, Boise. Boise is on our staff. He lives in California, and he's also a professional actor and so forth. But he helps us out on the West Coast and also helps me get my things out, my books out, so forth and so on. And just been a spiritual son, he's just been a big help. Also, Melanie, she stand up. Is she here? Praise God. Okay. And but anyway, they both have been helping me. So is Mom and M here? Mom and M?
She's coming.
Oh, coming. Okay. All right. Well, let's get in the Word of God. Now, tonight, we're going to kill that spider. I want to cover some things tonight, and then after I finish here, I'm going out, getting my airplane, and I'm
off you go.
Off I go. God is good, isn't he? Let me say a couple words first. We're talking on the subject of faith, and how faith can be used for the last days, and how faith is not just a something that God offers, but in the last days, faith is a requirement.
Yeah.
It really is. But you can't even please God without it.
That's right.
And if you're born again, you have it.
That's right.
Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
And what you want to do now is you want to, three things, understand what faith is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He says over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, so faith is the substance of things hoped for,
right,
the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
Verse 3, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so the things that were made,
right,
were not made of things that do appear.
Right.
Okay. Right. So the world wasn't made from nothing. It was made from something you couldn't see.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And God, in making things in the beginning, in Genesis, God decided, or he planned what he wanted and decided what he wanted it to come from.
Yes, sir.
Another thing said that God spoke to, he decided what he wanted and spoke to what he wanted it to come from.
That's right.
Now that's a piece here that I want you to grab hold to.
Yeah.
What God spoke came forth from what he spoke to.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Do I have a reader tonight? Do I have a reader? Okay, come on. There's one over here. Come. Okay. I know I saw a couple of hands. Is that a young lady in the back? Was that somebody? Okay. I had two young men. Okay. If you raise your hand and you're a young lady, come on up. Yeah. There he is. Okay. Right here. Okay. Come on up. Boy, they have them young here, don't they? They have them. Amen. This is wonderful. Okay. All right. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, if you will. And you could use this. Can you reach this up here? All right. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And let's look at that and see what it says. Go ahead. Read that.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky.
Okay. What God spoke came forth from what he spoke to. So he had the waters.
Right.
And now he spoke to the waters to bring forth fish, bring forth flying fowl. You with me?
Yes.
How about verse 24 on down?
And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind.
Okay, so now God's getting animals in the earth. And to get the animals in the earth, he spoke to the soil. And the animals came forth from the soil. Now this is God now, because he's now he's going to get mankind. And let's read verse 26.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
Wow. So now, after he finished creating everything, he creates mankind. Got it? Now, notice, he created everything before he created man, because man was supposed to be ruler over everything. But where did he get man from? And this is the key. Because to get the fish, he spoke to the water. To get the cattle, he spoke to the ground. To get you, he spoke to himself. So you came out of man, of God. Now, the key to this is that God inhabits eternity. Let's go to that, Isaiah in chapter 59. Oh, pardon me, Isaiah chapter 57. And let's look at it. I think it's verse, I want to say verse, let's try verse 15.
For this what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of
lowly. Wait. Okay, you're going right on. And he... Verse 14.
And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people.
Okay, so God, in verse 15, inhabits eternity.
Right.
Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What kind of translation that you have that?
International.
International. Lord have mercy. You know, if the King James was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. I'm just kidding. All right. Man. Woo. Okay. But my point to you is, he dwells in eternity.
Yes, amen.
And in eternity, there is no time.
That's right.
The Bible says over in epistles that one day with God is as 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And 1,000 years, just like one day.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because everything is.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
There is no future.
Amen.
There is no past. It's all there.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, Adam was born from this realm. And so he was not born in time.
Right.
He was born yeah. in the eternal.
Hallelujah.
And placed
yeah.
in time.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Time came on the 4th day of creation.
Right.
God put time in the earth.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, you have an atmosphere around this earth, and it's a certain PSI that this earth stays at.
Right.
And if you go too far out of space, you'll run out of air.
Right.
Because the air was meant for earth.
That's right.
And it's around earth.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God created earth for habitation.
Right. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I know they're talking about the Green Deal.
Come on.
And say, well, you know, we got to watch it because, you know, the pollution and blah, 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 blah. And that sounds good. All right? And you can do something with that. However, the way God created things was through the blessing. Read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 again, and then verse 28. Let's try that. Watch this. All right. Okay, Genesis 1, 26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon
the earth. So you got dominion over creeps. Might have some around your neighborhood. All right, verse 28, please.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it.
All right. Now notice he gave him 4 things. Be fruitful means to produce, means to expose publicly. It means to bring forth you. Multiply means to increase, both horizontally and vertically. You could see cell phone, Apple, notice they keep increasing it. And replenish the earth means to perpetually renew it and resupply it. And then it says subdue it, which means to control the market, to keep under demonic activity. This is what we're supposed to do. But he gave him something to do that with, and it's called the blessing. And the blessing is the name God gave to the power he used to create the universe.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So now he's putting the same blessing on you. And he's saying, I want you to take the blessing I'm putting on you and control the earth. If it's broke, fix it.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
So this blessing is powerful enough to take the worst place in the earth and turn it into Garden of Eden. Ezekiel chapter 36. Y'all don't mind if the young people get paid, do you?
No, sir. No, sir. Okay. Real good. Hallelujah.
Time for our young folks to get paid.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 33. Let's read that, please.
Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded.
Come on.
Keep going.
And the desolate land will be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by.
This land, keep going.
And they shall say, this land was desolate, is become like the Garden of Eden.
Read that again.
And they shall say, this land that was desolate, become like the Garden of Eden.
One more time.
And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden.
Keep going.
And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited.
Keep going.
Then the heathen that are left around about, you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it.
And I will do it.
Hallelujah.
Now, you see what you said, the pastor said this morning, we were sitting at the lunch table, and she said, you know, this whole idea about speaking the word is something that we need to get more revelation of. Because here was Moses, and remember, Moses, they needed water and began to cry out, and God told Moses to take a stick, his staff, and strike the rock, and water will come out.
Right.
And then the next time they started complaining, he said, now this time, speak to it.
That's right.
Now, God, he decided what he wanted.
Right. Yes, sir.
And spoke to what he wanted it to come from.
That's right. That's right.
Now, isn't he teaching Moses the same thing?
Right. Amen. Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying here? And instead of Moses speaking to it, he got angry with this crowd that he had out there. And he said, you rebels. I mean, he went off on them. Now, he struck the rock and water came out. But my point to you is that he got water out of a rock.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Come on,
sir. This is my point. I mean, don't miss the point here.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus didn't give you a chair.
Right.
He gave you a tree.
All right. Come on.
Let me go over here.
Come on.
He didn't give you a TV.
Come on, man.
He gave you all the elements for you to create the TV.
Amen. Come on.
And I think the people of God are behind. I think somehow we've lost that creative side, that little boy, little girl side that used to be in us, that so forth and so on. And the enemy has tried to close in on that because he knows your imagination is key for God to work through you.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Amen.
Now, he said, be fruitful. Be fruitful means to bring forth.
Right.
It means to produce. Yes. It means to come forth with something.
Yes.
And to be fruitful and you to come forth with something, you're going to need something as an idea that you can bring forth.
That's right.
So if God is telling you to be fruitful, it says that God must give you the seed to grow to bring forth fruit.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Okay, y'all say with me now.
Come on, sir.
See, there's nothing capricious about the nature of God.
Yes, sir.
He won't tell you to be fruitful and not give you a seed.
That's right.
To be fruitful with.
That's right. Amen.
So he's telling you to be fruitful.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting about this fruitfulness of God. Let's read over in Psalm chapter 72 and verse 18, please.
Psalm 72
Now watch this. Say, I'm going to be fruitful. See, he didn't give you the chair. He gave you the tree.
That's right.
And he did that on purpose because he made you like him.
That's right.
And you're supposed to get the chair out of the tree.
Right. Come on. Good. Come on.
Okay, read that, please. Psalm 72 and verse 18. And this is what it says.
Blessed be the Lord God.
Blessed be the who? Lord God, keep going.
The God of Israel, who does wonderful things.
All right. In the King James, it says, who only does wondrous things. Wondrous. Wondrous. Let me find wondrous for you, because we just say, oh, that's wondrous. That's just wonderful. Let me tell you what God means. It means he only does things that nobody else can match.
Hallelujah.
He only does things that leave all others far behind.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
See, there's innovation, and there's innovation, incremental innovation. There's evolutionary innovation, but there's disruptive innovation, and this disruptive innovation is all of a sudden Uber comes out. And Uber comes, Lyft comes out. But what about the taxi cab? Taxi cabs file suit and all of this, but they couldn't stop it.
Right.
Because you can't stop innovation.
That's right.
Somebody is going to think of something.
That's right.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
And when they do, it can be far above what you're doing right now, which causes a disruption.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
But you're not going to just disrupt. You're going into dimensional innovation. Now, I can't even tell you what that is. But that's innovation that's out of this world. Glory to God. No. Creativity. Look at Apple. Apple comes out with the Apple 1, Apple 2, Apple 3, Apple 4, Apple 5. Every time they're improving it. Am I right about that? But every time people are lining up. Am I right about
that's
that?
Right.
There's something about people that they like creativity.
Right. Come on. Amen.
Can I say this without y'all thinking I'm not saying? All right. Y'all got quiet when I said it. But Michael Jackson. And I was on the phone talking to somebody during the break. But he... I really believe that a lot of people want to go to his concerts because of...
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Moonwalk. Come on, Moonwalk. He was innovative.
Yes, sir.
And he would take and announce his tour. Let's say his tour is going to be named Dangerous. Boys, you give me some more of those tour names.
Fast.
History. These are his name. He's coming up with this.
Yeah.
And the moment he's announced it, 1 hour later, sold out.
Yeah.
Not only here in London.
That's right.
In God's people vision, praise the Lord. No. There's a place that work becomes worship.
Amen.
When you are creating for God.
Yes.
Come on, saints of God.
Come on. Amen. Come on.
You'll find that wisdom that brings those new ideas brings wealth, just like we talked about this morning.
Amen.
The problem is not money.
That's right.
We showed you this morning that the problem is wisdom.
That's right.
Because wisdom gets wealth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The Bible says a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard.
That's it.
What does that mean? That means if you are so wise, why are you broke?
Hey!
No, I mean, isn't that a good question to ask?
Come on.
People coming up to me again. Well, you know, Reverend, if I was doing that, I say, look, wait a minute. What, show me what you got in your bank account.
Yeah, come on.
No, I don't. That's all right. But anyway, notice, I can use a blessing and faith in it.
Yes.
to turn worse places, the worst place, into Wall Street. I can use, I'm just saying, now how do I do this? Let's go and read. This is not my message, folks. This is not my message. Let's read Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 16. Glory to God. Notice, he took Moses from striking the rock to what? Speaking. Speaking. Whosoever shall say. And God's people have been hesitant about going there. But that's what it's going to take to clean up the cities. No, listen, miracles give you mastery. And when you speak it like that, you're speaking from the eternal.
Amen.
The eternal has no time, meaning that, glory to God. Let me get this out there. God over here to my sister. I wrote this thing out, boy. I can tell you, but I want to tell you. Just hold on just a minute now. God distributes what mankind is to distribute, what God has already provided us in heaven. I'll say it again. Mankind is to distribute what God has already provided us in heaven. One more time, you need to write it down. Mankind is to distribute what God has already provided for us in heaven. Now, what has God provided? Everything you will ever need according to life and godliness. With a supply that is, give me a word, Boise, that won't run out. That is, yes. That's good. That'll work. But it's a supply that God has provided.
That's right.
That is inexhaustible. Of everything you'll ever need. Now, when mankind fell, what scripture are you at right now? Isaiah 51?
Yes.
Yes? Speak up. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, when mankind fell, Adam fell from the eternal into time. Now, everything we do, we talk in terms of time. Well, how long it's going to take for you to do this? How many days is it going to take, Doc, for this thing to heal? Time.
Yeah.
And time was not to be your master.
Right. Come on.
Time was to be your servant.
That's right.
And when faith is involved,
right,
it did.
dictates the time.
That's right. Amen.
Because it's a higher law than time.
That's right.
And God gave you faith.
Yeah.
So that you can reach back up to where you fell.
Uh-huh.
And be a distributor of what's already there.
Amen.
For the earth. And a lot of stuff you see in the earth shouldn't be here because the people of God had no understanding of their own superiority,
right,
to actually come in this earth and rearrange it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So it says over in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the thoughts and imaginations of mankind was only evil continuously. Well, if they're only evil, he did things and made things and used them the wrong way.
Yeah.
But here comes the church.
Hallelujah.
To change and rearrange.
Hallelujah.
The earth.
Hallelujah.
And where you see a ghetto, turn it into a place of gold. How are you going to do it? The same way I told you I did Cook County Jail.
Yes, sir.
I stood on the steps of that pulpit.
Yeah.
I said, we're turning jails,
yes, sir,
into boarding schools.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And look what's happening now. Even the people, watch this.
Yes,
they didn't have room in the jail because of the pandemic, so they'll put ankle bracelets on people and put them in their homes. But what happened is we came out with a course called Digital Immersion. And what we did is had computers given to them at the house.
Right.
And put them in digital courses at the house.
Come on, come on, come on.
And you better hear what I'm saying.
Come on.
And taught them things, even though they weren't in the physical place.
Right.
God still made a way.
Hallelujah.
For us to teach them a Google course.
Come on.
That they get certificates with.
Right. Come on.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes. Amen.
But it started with this right here. I had to decree a thing.
Hallelujah.
And it shall be established.
Hallelujah.
I mean, think about it. Oh, Lord have mercy. Isn't that terrible? Yeah, okay. Fix it. Okay. In the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You can start right there.
Amen.
Take your authority.
Amen.
So I'm saying you can rearrange the earth.
Amen.
Now, I'm about to say something right now.
Yes, sir.
Now, watch this. You're going to have to stretch your imagination. Remember I said you can't truly understand the word of God without understanding and imagination. You will have to use both of them.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I'm going to take you through an exercise here just a minute. And my wife is believing for a job. I was down in seminary in ORU. She's believing for a job. And she started confessing based on things in the Bible. And God spoke to me. He said, tell your wife to be more specific as to what she wanted. So she became specific. You'll find that in Dr. Cho's book, The Fourth Dimension. He became more specific. She said, I want a job in computers. I want it 10 minutes from the house. I want this salary. I want a nice office. I want an automobile, and so forth. And she wrote on a card. She's got the card today. Okay. So she started confessing that. Now she's confessing it. And as she's confessing it, this image is building.
Come on. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Her faith is growing.
Yes, sir.
Now, you got to know what faith is, how faith comes, and how to turn it loose.
All right.
Three things.
Yes, sir.
What faith is, how it comes, how to turn it loose.
Yes.
So this guy, classmate of mine, Brother Backus, he comes over to the house. He was on the front lawn. I was in the house. Today, Sister Veronica, is Bill in? Yeah, he's in the house. On the way in, he turned and asked her, and I heard it, "You got your job yet?" What do you think she said?
Yes.
She couldn't say in the eternal, it's done.
Yes.
She's got to call things that be not as though they were. Why? Because it's already done.
Yes. Come on, sir. Yes.
Now, are you with me here?
Yes, sir.
So, she said, "I sure do."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Where is it?" Now, I'm listening now to see what she's going to say. She said, "I don't know where it is, but I got it."
Yeah. Amen.
And he said, "Oh," and walked inside. All right. So, now, I come home one day, and I smell some home-cooked soup. I said, "Praise God, we're going to eat good today." She said, "That's not ours." I said, "The devil is a liar. I did this. Are you kidding me? It's my stove." But she said, "No, this other family down the street falling on some hard times, and I'm sowing a seed." Whoa. Now she's releasing her faith.
All right.
It's one thing to have faith.
Uh-huh.
It's another thing to release it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And many Christians won't say what needs to be said because they think they got to see it in the natural before it's so.
All right.
Wrong. It's so because God said it so.
That's right.
And he, Lord have mercy.
That's right.
So what happened is she took it down there. About 3 days later, got a phone call at the house. I took the phone up. Now, she had gone around all employment companies. They were laying people off by the hundreds because that was in the oil industry and so forth and so on. And it was down, and they're laying people off. So no jobs. But we knew that faith could get a job.
That's right.
Not just any job.
Right. Amen.
Exactly what you want.
That's what you want.
See, I told them the other day, I said, "Listen, Ruth, she didn't just set her faith for a husband.
Right.
She set her faith for the richest man around there." And I said, "If that's the case, why are you going to ask God to send you anything? You need to ask God to send you a man with some money."
Amen.
Why are you going to get you broke, he broke?
Yeah.
What love got to do with it? If you got a choice, ask for a good job.
Amen.
And you have a choice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's according to whose faith?
Amen.
Your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This friend of mine was in the hospital. He was down south, and he had a big aviation business. But boom, COVID hit him. Boom, they put him in the hospital 30 days. I mean, he had experience in there. And he said 30 days, and he boom, overcame it and came out.
Yeah.
And he said, "God, thank you so much for getting me out of that thing and getting me healed, you know, of that thing." And God said, "I didn't do that." He said, "Sir?" He said, I didn't save your life. Your faith saved your life. Now, I want you to get that if you don't get nothing else in my visit.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir.
I didn't save your life. That's what God said to him. Your faith saved your life.
Hallelujah. Amen.
When that woman had that issue of blood and was messing around and all them physicians said, "Hey, nothing we can do for you." She heard of Jesus, am I right? She said, "If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole." She was releasing her faith.
That's right.
Faith believes the impossible.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Faith sees the invisible.
Hallelujah.
And what happened? She touched Jesus and boom, got healed. And Jesus, you know, and she told him all the truth. And then he said, "Daughter, thy
faith
has made you whole." He didn't give the credit to himself. his anointing. He didn't give credit to the Father. He gave credit to one thing.
Faith.
Her faith. Why? Because for you,
yeah,
everything you need is already done.
Yeah.
God did it. Now your faith has to reach up and get what's yours and manifest it in your life. It's the servant of the believer. God has made you rich. He even said it. Wealth and riches shall be in your house.
That's right.
There's no future with God.
Come on, sir.
What God's going to do. You say God's going to heal. You say that, and faith is not loosed.
Yeah.
By his stripes.
Yeah.
It's done. It's a done deal.
Come on. Come on.
The devil's trying to shake you and make you let go of that confession. Because
uh-huh,
he knows faith will always work.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is this the right bunch I'm talking to?
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So what happened? Here she is. And she has declared it.
Yes.
She has released her faith and,
yes,
sown that seed.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have much money at that time, but she had some soup.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Didn't have much money, but got soup.
This little boy came, Daddy said, Daddy, this is a bicycle I want. Daddy said, no. Is that the best? He said, yes, that's the best I can find. He said, all right. You going to use your faith? Yes, sir. He went in there and got that Nintendo game and sold it.
Wow.
And God, his daddy started cleaning out the space in the garage.
Yeah.
That bicycle came barreling in there.
Hallelujah.
Called Little Boy Faith.
Yes. Little Boy Faith. Come on. Amen.
It's faith is faith.
That's right. That's right.
Young people can have the same faith,
yeah,
as you.
That's right. Yeah.
And faith moves the mountain.
Amen.
You don't.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So what happened? Here, what happened? Watch this. Talking about rearranging the earth.
Yeah.
So what happened? She got a call. I answered the phone. Hello, it's Mrs. Winston there. I said, yes, she is. And I started to say, who is this? No, I didn't say this. But you know how y'all do. Who's calling? Who shall I say is calling? I remember before I knew all of this, I was so deep in debt. That's Charles Capps was one of the people that I studied that brought me to this kingdom knowledge and so forth. And I remember they didn't have a call ID at that time. And you had to take your chances and get that phone. But I would fool them. I'd act like, you know, I'd like, you know, Jamaican or something. Hello, ho. One time it was Chinese, what? He not here. And I'm not trying to, it's, you know, I love everybody. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yes, sir.
I remember I was unsaved, and I'd like to go out on a date with somebody and so forth, and they kind of turned me down. And I'd get with them, you know, and I'd cry. You know, I think you're so lovely. All right, so, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But anyway, so what happened? He called. He said, I think I have something for you. He said, I've been in this company, I got here, and I was cleaning out the bottom drawers of the desk of the previous person who was here, and I ran across your application for a job, and I think I have something for you. Whoa. Now, you just happened to come in there, brand new, cleaning out the desk, and ran across her application.
Come on. Come on.
I'm talking about letting faith go to work. And next thing you know, She went into the company, came back, and I said, baby, how do we do? She went for an interview. She said, well, they want me to start as soon as possible. I said, well, how do we do on the things that we specified? She said, let's get the card. Got the card. First, in computers, check. 10 minutes from the house, check. Had nice office, check. The money was $5,000 more than we put on the card because I went in the closet and shundarabaya brasa. Mary Cassie Tola Bahonda. Give me more money. I need some more. Woo! I said, how do we do on the car? She said, they said, go pick up a new Buick. You have dominion.
Hallelujah.
Over all the earth.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When you use faith, it'll either bring it to you, take you to it, or create it.
Hallelujah.
Three things. Bring it to you, do to it, or create it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on.
Now watch this. This is what I'm getting at, and she's going to read. I said, well, where did this company come from? She said, they just moved in town from Denmark.
Wow.
Now, I'm not talking about Denmark, Mississippi. I'm talking about across the pond.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They moved in town. Question. Who moved it?
Come on. Come on. Come on. Faith. Come on.
Faith, the servant of the believer.
Hallelujah.
He will go to the governing board of the company and arrange a deal where they think it's their idea and bring them right into the coordinates of your claim.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If I can do that, why can I move some companies in some of the jobless areas of the city?
All right.
Why can I make Google make a decision on their board?
Yeah.
You're getting quiet on me.
Come on.
And that's what the name of this particular teaching is tonight. If thou can believe,
all things
are possible to them that believe.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
So you can specify
what
you want.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The coordinates for it.
Yes. Yes.
And when it's going to be there.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Because you govern time. Time doesn't tell you what to do. Religion keeps you in time.
Yes.
You're starting at Joseph Business School, which is now in 5 continents of the world. And next thing I told Ray and Dolores, Ray has her, she's a president of school now, and Ray has her degree from Harvard. He has his, her husband has his degree from University of Chicago, both MBAs. I said, hey, come here. I said, you all know something about business. Here's my plan. I'm planning on raising up a business Bible school for entrepreneurs. I want you to go away and come back and tell me how long it would take for this us to develop this and for us to launch this school. They went away, said it's going to take 2 years, Pastor. I went and prayed to the Lord, how long would it take? He said, tell them it's going to take 2 months.
Come on, sir.
They obeyed the man of God.
Yes.
They believed their man of God and went out, and it took 2 months with a school in 5 continents.
Praise
God is making it so that you don't have to wait centuries to change a city.
Praise God.
Let's read that scripture. That's found. Are y'all with me here?
Yes.
That's found in Isaiah 51, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 16. Microphone, okay.
Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock where you have hewn, to the hole of the pit where you have digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody.
Okay, go down to verse 16.
And I have put my words in your mouth.
Stop. And I have put my words where?
In your mouth.
Keep going.
And I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens.
That thou may what?
Plant the heavens.
Plant the heavens. Keep going.
And lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people.
Wow. Plant. Plant. So all these things that are already done in heaven needed to be planted. And who is he going to get to plant them? The believer, the church. And how many are you going to get them planted? With your words. The seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. So I'm saying to you right now, God wants you to come up higher. When Adam fell, he fell from grace to works. Now, are you ready? Now, I'm taking you out there. Y'all want to go with me out there? He called a man named Gideon. He said, my mighty man of valor. I can hear Gideon now. Who, me? Yes, you. I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. Gideon. But Gideon guessed that he was stupid. He didn't say it like that. But he confessed he didn't have enough brains to get up in the morning. But God, say, but God. Now, this verse, I'm going to have somebody to read. Now, here's what I want to do. let's look at Job 32. And let's look starting at verse 6. And I'd like you to start there. I tell you what. I got to save some time. Just hold where you are. I need someone to look up starting at verse 6. I need you to look up and read it out of the King James first. And somebody who from over in this section right over here, somebody can read it out of the King James. Whoever's got it, get up and start reading.
And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and dare not show you my opinion.
Keep going.
I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show my opinion.
All right. That is the King James. Let me come over here
and get the Message translation in that same thing. You got that? Stand on your feet for the Message translation. Anybody? No one? No one over here? Okay. All right. In your best voice. Go ahead.
This is what Eliu, son of Barthel the Buzzite, said. I am a young man, and you all are old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. But I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in a person. The breath of the Almighty One. That makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no qualms with them. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I've decided to speak up. Listen well. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think.
Thank you. All right. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying, wait a minute. God, can you can go to bed stupid and wake up smart. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? See, you've got to stop dealing with this level of time of the fallen man because you're not there anymore. In fact, while you're seated right here, you're also seated with him in heavenly places. Now figure that out. Your mind can't figure that out. But I'm saying when Adam fell, he, before he fell, he could name all the animals without having gone to UFC.
Yes, sir.
He could name them, and I explained that. You can't explain it. Only thing he did was download it. So he didn't learn, he discerned. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying that's where he's taking us back up to. But he said, be not conformed, come on, to this world. And the world of time is what you're conformed to. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I'm saying all of a sudden, stop thinking time, because as long as you think time, you don't get miracles. Miracles operate out of time. Say amen. The best thing you can do for a miracle is not give yourself enough time to do it. Y'all with me?
Yes.
You have the ability. Joshua, didn't he stop the sun?
Yes.
He said, sun, stand still, and moon in the valley of Ajalon, and everything stopped.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
How about the time when Moses was trying to counsel all the people, and God said, Moses, it's not going to work. He said, I'm going to take the spirit that's on you and put it on them.
That's right.
The spirit of counsel.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. He said, okay. Moses said, all right. So everybody went to bed that night and woke up the next morning. And the people could counsel on the level of Moses.
Amen.
In one night.
In one night.
I'm saying you can go to bed stupid and wake up an intellectual. This is what I'm talking about. Say amen to that. So we're not going to let this life of this natural world talk us into acting like that. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Why? They already were. It's already done. Say it's already done. Everything God's going to do for you is already done. If it's not already done, he ain't gonna never going to do it. So I want to say to you that, one, it's according to your faith. It's not according to what God's going to do for you, because he's already done that. It's according to your faith now, because your faith has to reach from this level of time zone up into the eternal, take hold of what God has promised you, and bring it back into time. And you can do that. But not only are you going to do it for you, you're going to do it for your relatives. Not only going to do it for your relatives, you're going to do it for your community. Not only that, you're going to do it for your city. So we're going to be speaking things, walking and talking. Now, let's go to this part. I'm about to end here. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Lord have mercy. Say, planting the heavens. And you do it with your speech. Tomorrow, about this time, this whole broke nation is going to be rich.
That's right. That's right.
And a man came up to him. I'll tell you what. First, go to Acts chapter 5, verse 19. Okay. And the man came up to him and said, if God would open up heaven, there's no way things can change economically in this nation that quickly. Here's what he told the man,
right,
the prophet. You're going to see it, but you're not going to participate.
That's right. That's right.
Because you're an unbeliever.
Right. Yep.
And so what happened? God had lepers. Because of this man's statement, lepers began to say, well, why are we going to sit here?
Right.
We die.
Right.
They're starving to death in Israel.
Right.
If we go in there, we're going to starve.
Right.
If we sit here, we're going to starve.
Right.
But why are we just going in the enemy's camp?
Yeah.
And when they started out at twilight, God made the enemies to hear noises.
That's right.
Because they turned their faith loose. Man, you got to give me, man. This God's trying to get this thing over to you.
Come on.
There were 10 lepers. They cried out to Jesus in Luke. In chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. So whatever he did, here's what he said. Go show yourself to the priest.
Yes.
Now notice what they didn't say. We got the leprosy.
Come on, son.
You don't show yourself to the priest unless you're clean.
That's right. That's right.
But as they went.
Come on. As they went. Come on.
They were cleansed.
Hallelujah.
Some of y'all need to win.
Yeah.
You need to get up and start loosing your faith.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, let's go to this last one here. So, now I'm saying that this eternal realm is a realm that you've been built for.
Yes, sir.
That's your comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
This down here in this time should not be your comfort zone.
That's right. That's right.
That should be your comfort zone.
Yes, 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 yes.
The world today needs miracles.
Yes.
We're getting to a point where miracles cannot be avoided anymore.
Yes.
They're going to be a requirement.
Yes.
For you to get L.A. out of some of this mess they're in, you need a miracle.
Yes.
Come on. You can get some of these places, stop these wars, go forth and so on. You need a miracle.
Yes.
And that's all right, because God can show you how to have a miracle on demand.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I teach it on a series called The Mystery of Miracles. Glory to God. Okay. Let's read this and we'll stop. You with me?
Yes.
But the angel...
Say, wait. What faith is? Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It's the title deed. How faith comes, how does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
Word of God.
Okay. Well, that's the way it comes. That's the only way it comes. How do I turn faith loose? See, I got to speak it,
or act on it. Because other than that, I'm sitting on it. And your servant needs to get busy. Now, I got to believe what I say is going to come to what? Come to that. So I said there were five levels of faith. I'm coming. Five levels of faith. I said it was little boy faith found over there in John chapter 6. I said it was teenage faith. No, wait a minute. I want to do something else. You got that. I'm going to give you five levels. No faith. As found when they were going over to the other side, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Little faith. As found when Peter started walking on the water, but all of a sudden looked away and began to sink. Jesus said, but he had little faith. That means short burst. Strong faith. That's found over in Romans chapter 4 and verses 19 through 20. And Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then there's great faith. Great faith is found in Matthew chapter 9. And pardon me, Matthew, glory to God, Matthew chapter 8. And that's when the centurion soldier came and Jesus, he said, Jesus, my servant lieth at home sick. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, you don't need to come to the house. Speak the word only. I'm just saying you can come here tonight and get somebody to agree with you for your relative that needs some faith and get it done from right here. But then there's dauntless faith. Dauntless. Now, some of y'all need to look that word up. Dauntless. That's in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When they went and heard Jesus in the house teaching and preaching, they went and got their friend who was paralyzed or whatever, and they took him and tried to get him in the door so that Jesus could minister healing to him. But they couldn't get in. Too many preachers standing in the doorway. So. And so they said, let's go up on the roof. They went up, say dauntless. They went up. Another word for dauntless is crazy. And they went up on the roof, broke it open. Now this man is paralyzed while they're doing all of this. He had to have some faith too, because he was... and lowered him down in front of Jesus, and when he saw their faith, he said, son, your sins be forgiven you. What's the revelation of that? Revelation is that just as much faith it takes to get saved, you can, that same kind of faith can get you healed. It's no harder for God to get you saved than to get you healed. Are you with me? All right, the last thing, I told you to go to a place I wanted you to read. I want you to read Acts chapter, I'm done. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. Read that for me.
But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.
Now this is apostles and so forth and so on. And what happened? Healing, miracles. Why? Satan hates miracles. Because miracles don't take any time. And miracles, once sometimes healing, people get healed over time. And they say, oh, he would have gotten healed anyway. But miracles leave no doubt. Say amen. And God has called you a miracle worker. And so what happened? They were working miracles. And what? The religious people took them, locked them up. They're in jail.
Come on.
But an angel comes. And the angel comes and lets them, takes them out of jail,
yes,
and told them, go back where you were, keep preaching, start at the text where you left off.
Right.
Are you following what I'm
yeah.
saying? So now the Sanhedrin or the religious leaders told the runner, say, go in jail, unlock it, and bring him here. Let's interrogate him. He goes,
yeah.
comes back, and said, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
He said, now, the jail was locked.
Right. Yeah.
The guards were in place.
Right.
But there's nobody in there.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm going to ask you, how did they get out?
Yeah. Come on.
It's a miracle. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. How did they use your magic? I don't know how they got out. But I know this. I saw on Star Trek. Come on now. They said, beam me up, Spock. Didn't they? And they just dissolved and ended up being manifesting somewhere else. Am I right about that? Now, I don't know. God may have come up with that. Some people, sometimes in a bad marriage, someone, beam me up. No, you're going to stay there and take care of them kids. That's what you're going to do. Okay, now. All right, now. Okay, are you with me here? Your imagination got to go to work.
Yes, sir.
Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or even think.
Hallelujah.
God can get you out of your situation that you're in right now.
Right now.
Before day after tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm going to decree it.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you've been dealing with,
yes, sir.
2 days you'll be out of it. In Jesus' name. Do you believe your prophet? Whatever you've been, come on, whatever. I don't care whether it's an illness. I don't care whether it's money. I don't care whether it's a problem with somebody. Whatever you've been dealing with, 2 days, 48 hours, you'll be out. Boy, I better decree that again. 48 hours. Come on, two-day faith. Two-day faith. Say, whatever I'm going through, in 2 days, I'll be out. With no trace that I ever been through it. In Jesus' name. Give God your best shout right now. Sit down, sit down. Just one more thing, just one more thing. I got to tell you this one more thing right now. So what happened? I'm going to have to end this. Thank you very much. God bless you. Amen. All right. Now, let me just give a big hand. Praise God. Give all our young people that came up a big hand. They did a great job. I don't know whether y'all noticed that or not. I didn't even look at it. I just peeled it off. Okay, that's part of the demonstration of the lesson. Now, watch this. Peter's fishing, caught nothing. Now he's washing the net. Here comes Jesus preaching. He asked Peter, could I use your boat? Use Peter's boat, said, push out a little from the land. Pushed out a little from the land, here's Peter. Now, he sits down, teaches the people. Then he turns to Peter. He said, now, launch out into the deep, let down nets for a draught. What's wrong with it? It's in the middle of the day. You didn't net fish in the middle of the day. Drop nets at night. So it's the wrong time. But faith overrides. Then making a difference what season you're in. Come on, you can make apples grow in the dead of winter, probably in the winter. Now, what I'm saying is this. Is he said, we fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to launch out. That word is rhema. The word that's in the first verse is logos. He went from logos to rhema. Now he went to revelation, and when he went to revelation, now faith comes. And he said, nevertheless, that word, I let it down, and he let it down and pulled in a boat-sinking, net-breaking load of fish. And he had so many till he called his partners. They filled up their boats. And when he got to the shoreline, he threw himself down at Jesus' knees, saying, away from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the large fish that they had caught. You with me? Now, my question to you, with all that I've taught, where did the fish come from? I'll help you. When the woman, kids were about to be taken and put in bondage, and the man of God told her to take the little oil and go borrow some vessels and shut the door with her and her sons and start pouring, she filled up all the vessels.
Right.
She said, bring me another vessel. They said, we don't have any more. You filled them all up.
Right.
And they all stopped.
Right.
Where did the oil come from? It didn't come from that little vessel.
That's right. That's right.
It came through it.
Hallelujah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Where did the fish come from? Lord have mercy. Boy, this is I got a feeling they didn't come from the lake. They came through the lake. Those fish were already there before the foundation of the world. He tapped into an inexhaustible supply. Say amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, from this day forward, you're going to get revelation of eternal life that you have never had before in your life. Say amen. God has an inexhaustible supply for us of body parts. Come on. Now, if you don't believe it, the man over there with Oedipo's ministry, he was preaching on this, and the man went to bed that night, and he had an elbow joint that he had put in by the surgeons and so forth, but he woke up that next morning.
Come on.
I want to show you a picture of what he came up with. I want you to look at this picture. That. You see this? That is a joint that was in his arm. When he woke up, it was laying on the side of the bed. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Where did his real joint come from? Come on now. God's got new body parts for you, new kidneys, come on, new hearts, come on, new everything, because he makes all things new. Praise God. Now, if you believe this and you're ready to release your faith, you give God your best shout right now and let it go. Give you new ideas, new songs, come on, new deliverance. He's about to give you new jobs. He's about to give you new business. He's about to give you new spouse. I'm here to tell you he makes all things new. My name is Bill Winston, and I approve this message. God bless you.
Our God,
our God is an awesome God. Y'all know that song. Let me see what key you got. Wait. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wind, the power of our God.
Hallelujah. You're going to have to listen again and again and again and again and again and again, because so much of it we've got to get authored in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we want to receive an offering for Dr. Bill Winston tonight. Every bit of what you give toward his ministry.
My. A word from God. What am I eating? I was having a wonderful bowl of watermelon. All right. You know, I had to go get the battery charger for my little speaker. So I figured while I was standing there, I might as well just enjoy a little bit of watermelon. And thank God for Sister Leanne. She's such a wonderful shopper. And what you eating, Phyllis?
Crabs.
Crabs?
Crabs. Oh. Crabs. Royal.
Well, mine was a real couple quick bites of watermelon, because I can't do the crabs while I'm talking and look decent or professional. Now, thank you, Father, for this word. What a word that has been for us tonight. My goodness sakes alive. You know, thank God for men of God. Let's open our Bibles real quick. We still got a half an hour, so we might as well just grab some more verses here and do a little bit more study. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll talk about this message tonight a little bit. And most of all, we're going to put this message in our hearts and continually go over it. To some that are here, including me, even though I've been hearing Dr. Winston preach now for over 12 years, this revelation that he was sharing with us tonight, it's got to be one of the most powerful revelations there is. And our only challenge that we face is learning the process and being patient with ourselves through the process of building the revelation from the word, of learning how to reach up into heaven and latching on to them blessings, healings, miracles, and then bringing them back down here to this earth. Because it's that song we've been singing in the worship a little bit. Seated in heavenly places, just like heaven on earth. We're walking in his glorious graces, just like heaven here on the earth. Now, all of a sudden we realize there's a whole level we get to be walking at. And the only thing, think about this. The only thing that's stopping you and I from enjoying that next level is our ability to get this book digested in revelation form down inside here. That was exactly the case, love. I forgot that you guys were still watching me on YouTube because you can't see the screen. And it was covered up, yes. But I didn't eat. I wasn't sloppy when I ate, did I? Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go down here to verses 9 through 12. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Now, Hebrews chapter 6 is where we get the foundation verses of the Bible, where we talk about the foundation of dead works, and then the elementary principles, which is faith toward God, repentance from dead works, doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are the foundation doctrines that everybody needs to understand. Oh, that was delicious. Thank you. And then after the foundation doctrines, Paul says in the same chapter that people who once were blessed with the abundant, the wonderful things of heaven, and then they fall away or they go away, he says it's impossible for them to ever be restored or renewed or brought back to the faith. And because they begin to crucify again the Lord Jesus after he has completely set them free and done mighty, mighty miracles in their life. That's in the beginning of this chapter. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. But beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner that some have lost their faith and will never be returned. Verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We use that verse regularly here. Hold on just a second. You gotta slow North Dakota down a little bit. Go ahead, buddy. Now, so God is going to always be taking care of you and I. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. In verse 11 it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Now look at this verse. "That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Well, what we just saw tonight with Dr. Bill Winston is somebody who that by faith and patience have inherited the promises of God. And what this literally declares to you and I is that we must begin to exercise these principles of faith and to see them begin to manifest things in our lives. Now, as a whole body, all of us have seen God do miracles amongst us right here. We saw God do miracles in Phyllis. She was in Florida and couldn't get back to her house in Louisiana. We've seen God do miracles when storms have come up in your area, and we've rebuked them. They've gone away. We've seen many people healed right here by our prayers. We've seen courage come to you, strength come to you, answers come to you. Your loved ones begin to receive the things of God. We saw Ben be healed. Francetta saw Ben be healed. Jeff be healed. We just prayed for little Emily May, and that all came to pass. We have seen miracle provision. We've seen people get houses and be blessed with wonderful places to live. So that's this body as a whole. It's now time for you and I to grab a hold of our own life and to begin speaking some very specific things for ourselves and following this faith pattern that we hear laid out for us by these great men and women of God who by faith and patience have inherited the promise, and you and I begin to see that same faith work for us just like it did for them. What an amazing testimony that he was able to give about Veronica, his wife, needing help. Literally moved the whole business right out of Denmark to where they were at in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so she could have a good job. I love the story because the man said, "I was cleaning out a desk of somebody who used to be here, and down in one of the drawers was your application for employment." And I heard him tell the story one other time, and the guy said, "When I got a hold of it, I couldn't get it to release off my finger." He said, "That thing was stuck to my fingers after I picked that application up." And he said, "I thought, well, I guess maybe I should just see who this person is," because he couldn't get the paper to come stuck off his fingers. What is that? That is their faith moving that mountain, making that work. Now, one of the great revelations for me tonight is the miracle of the lady with the little vial of oil. Turn there with me. 2 Kings. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen.
Amen, Kathy Angaroni. Good to hear your voice, ma'am.
I'm here.
Good to hear your voice.
I had to work a day, so now I'm here.
All right.
Go on.
We're on 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to do 1 through 7. Now, that statement he just made is one of, you know, when you listen to a man of God that's been out there hammering it, doing it, this is pretty amazing. Now, I want you to think about this. Dr. Winston is 80 or 81, 82 years old, all right? He preached two services on Sunday and a service on Wednesday night. Thursday morning, he was in California. Thursday night, he was in California. No, no. Wednesday night, he was in California. Thursday morning, Thursday night, he was in California. Friday and Saturday, he was in St. Louis for a huge event that he did there. And he was back yesterday morning to preach two services in Chicago. He's 82 years old, or 81, somewhere in there. Now, what you see is a man who has used the faith principles to not only change his community, change his church, build him a building, get him what he needs, make him, he's a rich man too, but also fill his body with supernatural strength to do the work that God has given him to do. Now, watch this. 2 Kings 4:1, a certain one of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Nobody wants that. It doesn't say how old his sons were, but her husband was Obadiah, who had hidden 100 prophets when Ahab was trying to kill him. And he hid 50 in one cave and 50 in another, and he took on their daily supply on himself, got in debt, and a lot of scholars believe it was the stress of the debt that was killing him. Verse 2, Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." A little jar of oil. Okay? He said, "Go borrow vessels." I want you to notice it. Two different sized vessels. One is a jar and one is a vessel. One is smaller, the other is larger. All right? "Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." She went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Came to pass when the vessels were all full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "Mom, there isn't another vessel." Now, it's not in there, but I know that it could be in there. And the mom said, "What's wrong with you, boy? That prophet said borrow many vessels." It's all right. That's just a coddle paraphrase. You don't have to agree with it. That's just how I see it. Why? Because every mama, when the miracle starts flowing, is like, "Bring me another one. Hurry, go get me another one. What? I got a little jar of oil and this big vessel's filling. Boy, give me some vessels. You know how your mama is. Give me some more." And when they're done, she smacked him right in the head and said, "I told you to get a bunch of." Maybe I lived down south too long. I don't know. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt. You and your sons live." Look at this now. "You and your sons live on the rest." Now, there's a lot of principles that's working here. She had a vessel of oil, jar, and these were vessels, larger vessels, for the oil to go into. That oil didn't come from that jar, came through the jar by her faith. You want to say it with me? The oil came through the jar.
The oil came through the jar.
It didn't come from it.
Reminds me of that parable where Jesus says that he refers to God as the gardener and then himself as the vine, and we are the branches, the leaves, and so on. And so the Holy Spirit flows from God through Jesus to us, and we are expected to produce the fruit of the vine.
Fruit.
Okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to butt in, but yeah. It was very strong, but I
said it. I don't have a problem with it, Phyllis. If you get out of line, I'm going to straighten it right out. No. No, that's really good because that's what Jesus said. I'm the vine, you're the branches, bear fruit. There is no Christian that's going to get to heaven and be free from the responsibility and the accountability of bearing fruit. And he didn't just say bear fruit. He said bear fruit that remains. God Almighty flowing through our lives, causing fruit to come out of us in the lives of everyone else. You and I get to be one with the Father. Not one with religion, not one with your church, not one with the denomination. Wait a minute. Not even one with me or the community of faith. You are one, God your Father, and he is filling you with his life that wants to flow through you so you can produce fruit. You know how that mama is. She started pouring that oil out of that jar, and she's looking over there at them vessels saying, boy, go get me another. Mom, I buy a vessel from everybody. I said, go get me another. We can't run out. Look at what God's doing right here. And that oil flowed. Now, take it back to Peter. Take it back to Peter. When God created, when Jesus, our Lord, created the fish. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I like how he said that. He spoke to what he wanted from what he wanted it to come from. And we got to go down here to verse number 20. Then God said, Genesis 1:20, God said, let the waters, and we'll run down through 28. God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heaven. So God spoke to the waters, and he wanted it to come from the waters. So he spoke to the water, and the fish came out of the water. It's exactly what happened to Peter in that boat. Watch it. 21, God created sea creatures, every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said to the birds abound in the sky. He called birds out of the sky and fish out of the water and cows out of the ground. 22, God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. All of that happened in one day. Can you imagine everything that God spoke into the oceans and the seas and the lakes and the rivers when he said, let the waters be full? Now, I don't know if you've seen some of it, but we met a guy one day over here. He caught 135-pound something, gar or something, right down here in the river. 135-pound fish out of the river. That make a fella not want to swim in that river. You could get eat a whole alive by that $135 35-pound fish. It was big, man. And he caught it on a fishing pole. All right? But wait. That fish he caught, ancestor of the fish that God spoke 7,000 years ago when he said, let the waters. And they were full of fish. I want to stay there, but we're running out of time. 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth. 25, the beast of the earth, each one according to his kind, cattle according to everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. God said, I'm making you in my image. Every creeping thing. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Now, the blessing is the force, is the name of the force that God used to create everything. Dr. Winston made that statement up here somewhere. The blessing. Oh, I got a whole mess of notes here. The blessing. I wanted to read it just like he said it, but I don't see it. The blessing. It's all right. We'll find it and we'll talk about it on another day. The blessing is the title of the force that God used to create the whole world. Now, watch this. God said, I bless you. God did not bless us to be him and create new universes. God blessed us to be just like him and take dominion of this universe. You and I get to speak to what we see and speak to it from what we want it to come from and watch it come to us. Now watch. Genesis chapter. I think it's 15. Yeah. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. This is God coming back to Abraham the second time. Watch. Verse 2. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? See, I go childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5, now watch this. And he brought him outside and said, look up toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. What did he do? He gave Abraham a picture in his mind, his imagination, of the stars of the sky. And he said to him, see. Go with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Sometimes God will actually speak to you in your spirit. And sometimes you'll just get a picture right out of the word of God. You'll get a picture right out of the word. I'm going to show you one more picture. A lot. I'm going to repeat this picture over and over so you can see it. But watch this. Joshua chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And you remember, Joshua didn't send 12 spies, he sent 2. Because he saw what happened when 12 went. And he said, I'm going to send 2 and I'm going to get a good report, and we're going in to take this land. Watch this. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall not go around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. God said to him, see, what was he telling him? Use your faith and your imagination and see this picture. Because if you can see it in faith, you can get it done in the reality. Why? Because God's blessed you and commanded you to be just like him in Genesis chapter 1. Adam fell. Noah and the three sons were on the ark. But we're all still the seed of Adam. And God has still left that same multiply and take dominion. Now look, verse 5, it'll come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go straight up, every man himself. What was God giving him? He was giving him a picture in his spirit, man, that he could see so that he could go and do what it was that God wanted him to do. Maybe the picture in your mind is healing in your body, and you've got a part of your body that's not healed yet. Grab a hold of the scripture, by his stripes I'm healed, Isaiah 53:6, and then grab a hold of Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. Put those two verses together and live in that until the picture of your absolute healing grows up so big it has to manifest in your daily life and in your body. It's already done. Somebody say it with me. It's already done. You know, there's a song about that. It's already done. It's already done. It's a song from Dr. Winston's church. It's already done. It's already done. And then the next verse says, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. I'm already healed. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 26. Now, I'm not going to preach another whole message right now, but I want you to get your Bibles open, and I want you to get to turning with your fingers. And I declare your fingers are nimble and your eyes are clear, and you're able to read your Bible, and it comes so near. I'm going to prophesy. Woo! And you will know the truth, and it will set you free, and you will speak the truth, and then you'll begin to see just how amazing our God is. How awesome is his plan. You will see it. You will know it. You will function in the plan. Woo! Speak, Holy Spirit, speak. Woo! Glory be to God. It's my plan, and you're my man. It's my plan, and you're my woe man. I am the one who told you to speak. I am the one who will make it to be. Do it. Walk in it. Live in it. Every day, you will find that I will lead you all along the way. It's my word. It's my plan. And I've put it inside your hand. It's my word and it's my plan. And I am causing you to stand. 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 Woo! Glory. Stand. My. Matthew 26. And let's go to Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Now, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 38. He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he went back to find the disciples, and they were asleep. And he said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak." Second time he went and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." Now, go with me to Mark chapter 14. No, yeah, 14. Mark chapter 14. That was Matthew's rendition of the garden. Now, let's look at what happens here. Mark chapter 14, and let's read verse 35. Mark 14, and this would be 32 through 42. I don't know if you're getting all these. Mark 14, 32 through 42. Thank you, ladies, that help us put in the verses. Men, if you're watching, you can help us put in the verses. 34, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, look at this verse, "Abba, Father," my dad, my father, "all things are possible for you." Jesus just spoke his faith to the Father, saying, "All things are possible. Take this cup away from me." He's saying to the Father that showed him and spoke to him every miracle throughout his life, "All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me." I never saw that till this morning. I've never seen that till this morning. In the garden, Jesus was speaking faith that the Father could make a move, that he wouldn't have to do this. He was a man. Then he said, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found the disciples sleeping, and he said, "Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. Let us rise and be going." And off they went. Jesus himself, just like you and I, are going to have to say, "Father, all things are possible. I ask you to perform this miracle in my life, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name." Now, I kind of took all of the time there from us, from our talking. Any of you got a statement that you want to make, that any of you would be Dan and Kathy and Phyllis, or I don't know, I can't see, maybe we got somebody over here on Blog Talk Radio. I don't see anybody there. Any of you can make a statement. I won't be able to hear it, just read it. if you're not here in the Zoom, but that's all right. Go ahead, Phyllis. I had my mute on. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're asking.
Well, if you got something from the program that deals with this faith like this, something that really stood out to you.
Things he said that stood out to me. Okay. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And, I mean, he said a lot of good things that I already knew, but let's see.
Phyllis, well, keep talking. I forgot my communion juice. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, then riches shall be in your house. I wrote down a lot of scripture verses with their comments. One hearken unto me. Oh, well, it's too much reading there. God bless us to be just like him. And have faith as Jesus had faith. Let's see. The resurrection of the dead. That's Hebrews, I think. That might be in 2 Kings. Well, I'm going to have to go through all my records again and get them in order now because there's too much. And the pages filled up, got squinched together there.
I know, but that's why you take notes, and then you use that same paper and go back and listen to it again, so that you can hear it again. And I'll put this link up there so you can hear it. Now, I want to say this because it's like Phyllis just said, wealth and riches will be in your house. That's a promise from God, Brother Dan Caveau. God is in control, and all things are possible through him. We must only have faith and ask. We are part of the family of God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. My brother, it's good to see you here tonight. Brother Dan Caveau, all the way from, I don't know where you live now, brother, Pinconning, Michigan? Bless you, man. It's good to have you with us tonight. Brother Dan. My. We've seen some faith happen since we got this thing going, didn't we? Woo! Linwood. Amen. We are a part of the family of God. Watch this. Let's take Phyllis's statement she just made about wealth and riches are in your house. That's what he said. And then Dan's statement that he just made, which is, God is in control. We are part of the family of God. Now, when we put those two in there, and we truly get down inside of our life, that we are God's children, and there is nothing that can separate us from that care and that love of our Father, it's just a matter of learning how to reach up into that treasure chest of heaven and bring those things down. It's what Amy Simple McPherson said. That's what she said. And you might say, let me say it differently. I know that tonight there are some people here. And what Dr. Winston preached and what we're saying is so strange to you that you're like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Well, what we're talking about is not churchianity. It's not religiosity. What we're talking about is opening up this book and finding out that God is our Father and we are his sons and daughters. And that nothing can separate that. I don't have to give you a list of do's and don'ts. I got to get your nose in this book, studying the right verses so you can see who you are in God. You might say, yeah, but I've been a very good church person my whole life. Good revelation for you. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. I have been a really good church person my whole life. But none of us will be able to stand in front of Jesus and say, Jesus, I was a good church person. He's going to say, I know. Do you know what I wrote in my book? And you're going to have to say, you're going to have to give an answer. So we're still here on earth. Might as well join with a bunch of folks like us and come to the revelation of the knowledge of the truth. But I'm going to follow great men like we saw tonight. Now remember, tomorrow night, Brother Terry Mize is going to come from the same camp meeting. And he's going to preach this, but Dr. Winston kind of preaches it from a business model. Brother Terry's going to preach it from a missionary model. And he's got some stories to tell tomorrow night. And he tells the story of Peter walking on the water like nobody I've ever heard. And I want you to be here with us tomorrow night in Jesus' mighty name. Brother Dan Cottle, Sister Kathy Angaroni, you got 2 minutes. Wow, we're getting rain. Got anything you want to say? And I will take silence as no, I don't. And that's okay. I just want to give you the opportunity. Wow.
So when he pointed out your faith saved your life, that faith has made you whole, those verses that he made them stand out, you know?
Yeah. Well, and look at Brother Dan. The small jar was all she had. It was more than enough once she had faith to take care of her debt and take care of her and her sons into the future. She had the solution. She just had to change her perspective from negative to the positive. Change my perspective from I just have a little jar of oil. And God said, no. You have an abundant supply for you and your sons forever.
But you know, I haven't heard anybody yet say anything about how sad it would have been if she didn't have enough faith to start pouring that oil.
Yeah. Well.
If she didn't have enough faith to go get those jugs. Or she went and got the jugs, but still didn't start pouring the oil.
Yep.
You have to do something.
You have to do something. Have to. And you know why we don't hear those stories? Because nobody tells a story about somebody that didn't make it.
And sometimes we just don't believe that somebody would believe us if we didn't tell them. I mean, there's things that's happened to me that I have only told a couple of people because they just really didn't believe that it was that simple.
Yeah.
But I had to have the faith to believe.
Amen.
That God would save my life, or I wouldn't have said anything. And I spoke, and He did ultimately, abundantly, exceedingly more than I could have even thought to ask Him to do.
Yeah.
I just asked Him to stop the rain. And He did everything.
Yep.
Like it was like He opened up the water, rain on this side of me and rain on that side of me. And the highway was dry. My car was dry. The rain wasn't raining on me. And I safely drove around the curve down the, and if you've ever slid on slippery highways,
yep.
You know the fear I felt. But at that time, son was doing this miracle, that all I could think of was how he had opened the waters and dried up the land for the Israelites to cross over the Red Sea. It was just too amazing. I just wish every one of you could know how it was, what it was like to know that God loved me so much. He did that. He must have something good planned for me.
He does.
I mean, I realized that was like 22 years ago, but still in all, that's fantastic to me.
It is. And it was raining on both sides and dry in the middle, huh?
Absolutely. A wall of water to the left of my car and a wall of water to the right of
my car.
And poor Elaine sitting there by me, she says, "Oh, my God, if I ever get sick, I know who I can come to pray for me." But, honey, I had to explain to her it had nothing to do with my powers. I just had the faith to ask God to save us. And
Amen.
He loves you. He probably loves you more than he does me, honey. And that's why he answered my prayers, because she was a very precious grandmother taking care of her children, same as our grandchildren, same way I was taking care of my grandchildren. But she was a precious Christian, and I just know God was not going to let anything happen to the two of us. And he just, it was amazing. I don't even know if I ever told you about that situation.
I don't think you ever did.
Probably. Anyway, it's just like I say, a lot of things are so fabulous that a person is really just expecting people not to believe them because it's too fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. No, we believe you. And you know, all of us here, we continually bring these stories like this. And we've got to, you know, it's like that story I tell of the traffic in front of me. That story is so crazy. Anytime I think about it, I go into ponderment and amazement. Because there's five cars coming at me, and I'm going at them. And the speed limit is 65 miles an hour on that road, two-lane road. And when I'm within 100 yards of the first car, the fourth car pulls out the pass. And I'm 100 yards away from them. So I'm always aware, as a truck driver, you're always aware for an out. So I've already seen that. The ditch is long and sloping. I'll be safe. It'll be a rough ride, but I'll be safe. But in that split second, I realized that guy in that car does not know he's in my lane. And he's going to get ready to make an adjustment, and he's probably going to take me out. And there's no earthly reason to do this. In that split second, 100 yards away, I turned left across the line of traffic, 65 miles an hour, and I stopped completely in the shoulder. One lane, which is what, 18 feet wide? The lane is 18 feet wide or 12, whatever it is. One lane of traffic in the gravel, and I stopped. They didn't go in the ditch. I didn't roll. I mean, 65 miles an hour this way, and then like that, and 90, you're going to roll. We didn't roll. We didn't get hit. Nobody got hit. They may have gone down the road and shook their britches out, a couple of them, but we just sat there. Leanne and I just sat there like, are you kidding me? Did you just see what happened? 65 miles an hour in this lane. We crossed this lane and stopped in that dirt. We stopped from 65 miles an hour in about 35 feet and didn't roll. Somebody say, and that's God.
Absolutely. And that's God.
And that's God. Now, I was going to charge Sister Phyllis with taking us closer to 9:30 for communion, but now I told my own story, so I can't say that.
Okay, I'll accept that. Yeah, I'll let you take the blame.
Hallelujah. Well, you guys know me. I would stay here, and I'd talk about this for the next couple hours, but can't do that. Now, when you bake bread, you have to put the yeast in to activate it. That's good. That's good, Sonny. And that's God. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. That's your faith. Your faith is what makes all of this work. Wow. When we get done, I'll put this link up so that you can study it with us, because that's one of those messages you're going to want to just keep going and going and going. Hey, it's pretty cool, too. My son-in-law did all the editing on the video. I talked to him yesterday for Father's Day. And my daughter is the choir director in the video. How cool is that? That I get to see my own kids on what has now become three of my most favorite messages. Matter of fact, if you're in any kind of leadership position, on Thursday morning of that camp meeting, Dr. Winston preaches a message on leadership that is amazing. But of course, he's a pretty powerful leader, and it all flows right from, remember what we read, Hebrews 6:10, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Don't worship them. Don't elevate them. Don't pedestal them. Follow them and follow their example. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. I feel like I'm having to just shut it off because we're going to keep going. But let's receive our communion elements together right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we bless you. We bless your name, Jesus. You have the name that is high above every name, high above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion. You have the name that every knee will bow to. Every knee, it doesn't matter. We can either bow now here and have a wonderful life. They will bow there and be banished for all of their life. Thank you, Father, that you've not given us a ecclesiastical standard to follow that's impossible to reach. But you have just said, all you got to do is receive me. And I will come in, and we will make our abode within you. And you, Father, said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. Thank you. We get to be one with you. Bless this time of communion now. As we enter in, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I am, this is how we do things here. I'm going to read now the verses on communion from the Apostle Paul when God met with Paul. When we're finished, we'll pray the prayer of salvation so that everyone's right with God. We'll know that. And then I'll give you two minutes worth of biblical instruction, some discipleship. And then we'll bless the elements and receive them. That'll take about 10 minutes. And it'll be a blessing to you. I do all of that by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, because he's told me, you never know who's going to be here. And the church has so messed up communion that it's important to reestablish the truth every time we come. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. He's the head, and we're the body of Christ, like literally. Verse 18, perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it, because there is no fear in love, and there is no fear in the communion elements. Now, those of you that are new, you might say, well, preacher, you left out verse 27. Well, I choose to, by the Holy Spirit's leadership, at the beginning when we began to do this, he told me, I want you to focus on what is the responsibility of each believer so that they will be right with me to receive communion. What difference does it make about the damnation? If you come here to find God and you find him, you don't even have to worry about that. That's for people who show up here to mock God. You will drink damnation to your soul. But for those of you that just love God and want to walk with him, you're not drinking damnation. If you sin, don't run from communion, run to it. Don't run from it, run to it. If you're weak in your body, don't run from Jesus, run to him. If your marriage is failing, don't run from the communion elements, run to it. He said, let a man examine himself. When you brought your sacrificial lamb to the priest, he didn't examine you. He examined the sheep, the lamb, the offering. The priest already knew you had sinned. He was looking to see if the sacrificial lamb was pure. And this is pure. This is pure. Some people talk about my communion cup. Though your sins were red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. I love it. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. I'm going to say a few words, you say them, and in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God no matter who you are, if you mean this from the bottom of your heart. Pray this with me, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you,
when I believe in
you, give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not fail.
And I will not fail.
and I will not fail.
Put your hands out and say, I believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you, Jesus.
And I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your love and righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
And understand your Holy Word.
And understand your Holy Word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer, as a
believer. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome them, guys.
Welcome.
Woo! You did it. You did it. You prayed the prayer of salvation, and now you've been reconciled with the Father. I'm telling you, every time we pray this here, I receive that same infilling of God on the inside of me. And it's what you're experiencing right now. Why? Jesus, the light of the world, just filled you. You're full of light. All of his grace and mercy, all of his love and righteousness is what you just asked for. And it just filled every part of you. Grace, so you don't receive what you deserve. No. So you don't, Jesus. Mercy, so you don't receive what you do deserve. And grace, so you do receive what you don't deserve. His life. All of his love just filled you. And all of his righteousness. In your own strength, you can't make it. Neither can I. This is not of our strength. It is the free gift of righteousness that we live by. All of your sins just been washed away. You've been made new. And now he gave you his righteousness that you get to live by. Yeah! And all of it happened in 2 minutes. The Father adopted you into the family. You are now heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Wow. I love it. And now, as we pray this prayer, and we receive these communion elements as your first supernatural act since you've been born again. You're going to receive the life of God into every part of your life in Jesus' name. My email address and website is right there in the notes of all of our different platforms. And I encourage you, send me an email and say, hey, preacher, I have made a decision for Jesus. And help me walk with God. I got 10 videos I want to get you started on. Talking about the righteousness of God. And the free gift of righteousness. The foundation principles of the Word of God. So that you get yourself solidly based in God's holy word. And you charge through this life making things happen. In Jesus' mighty name. Honestly, send me an email. If too many of you send me an email, it's all right. I got a lot of good folks here that'll help me answer. And we'll get this mission accomplished. You know, it's pretty amazing. 44 nations of the world are streaming with us. I have a hard time speaking English, no less 44 other dialects. But we welcome every one of you to be here with us in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your elements up. We'll bless them and we'll receive them. My Zoomers will pray with me. I like to hear them pray because I think it sounds like church. We have Louisiana, North Carolina, and Michigan, and North Dakota in this prayer. How cool is that? Ready? Pray with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord. Jesus, you were wounded. For my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying. In my body. From your body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you are set down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and you called it all joy that you could reach us. We love you and we worship you. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with us. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
The most powerful cleansing force.
On the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation
with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
Forever.
Forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus. And the word of my testimony. I overcome. By the blood of Jesus. Every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white.
And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. Glory, hallelujah, to the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing it together. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome. We're glad you've been with us. If that was your first time to receive communion with us, we're glad you're here with us. And we declare all y'all come back again and be with us. We do this every night right about this time, 9:30-ish Central Standard Time, somewhere in there. And we receive communion elements together. You can go to our website, samueljcottle.com, and on there, click on the communion tab, and it's written out there. You can actually do this right at home from this point of view. As you got a bunch of friends over and you begin to talk about Jesus, which I believe is very important anytime a bunch of your friends get over right now, talk about Jesus, and then just say, let's do this communion service together. And it's all written out for you right there on samueljcottle.com. We want to be a blessing to you in one way or another. Make sure on YouTube you click subscribe, you hit the bell so you're notified, and click like or love or whatever they give you the option for. And it'll help us, and it helps YouTube. They get some kind of rush out of it. And most of all, it keeps you connected to us and all the different things we do. Every morning we have a program that's called Read the Word. And that's where we're reading through the Bible this year chronologically. I'm actually reading it out loud. And I'm telling you, I'm getting more out of it, the Bible this year, than I've ever. Well, you say that, but, you know, you got a lot out of it last time you read it. But I've never read the Bible out loud, chronologically in order, in front of people ever in my life. And I am loving the revelation that's coming to us as we do it. And, of course, you know, today wasn't a good day. Or tomorrow morning's not a good morning because the Queen of Sheba shows up for Solomon, and then Solomon goes astray. Hate those verses in the Old Testament, because I want everybody to walk with God all the days of their lives. But thank God he wrote it like it happened, so that you and I will be encouraged and be challenged to walk with him every day of our life. In Jesus' mighty name.
Is it really true that God divorced himself from Israel during that time?
Yeah. At one of the points there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he couldn't even be a preacher at a Baptist church.
No. Jesus himself couldn't be a pastor of a Baptist or an Assembly of God church because he divorced Israel, yeah. I mean,
that's really a joke.
Well, it's actually the truth. And I heard Brother Jesse preaching about that one day, and they told a man he couldn't preach because he'd been divorced. And he said, I looked at him and said, you guys probably don't like Jesus either, do you? And they looked at him like, what do you mean by that? He said, well, Jesus divorced Israel, so you probably don't listen to him either. You probably don't even read the Bible in this church. You know how Brother Jesse is. You're going to discriminate.
That's probably where I heard it.
You know, I love another one of Brother Jesse's discriminating stories because he said he got introduced in a very white church. I forget if it was Mississippi or Louisiana. And he said, right when I did, this young black couple came in, and there was plenty of seats up in the front of the church, but they sat him in the back row. And he said, I just stood there and said, there's a seat up here they can sit in. And the man said, no, that's where we'll have him sit. And the couple got up and left. And he said, hey, you guys wait with me. I'm going to just come with you. Let's go get lunch. He left that Sunday morning service and went and got lunch with that black couple because of that discrimination that man was showing in the house of God. I feel like, Brother Jerry, John Wayne has come to the gospel ministry. Anyways, Sister Phyllis, read us our closing verses. We got to get out of here. I'll talk all night long, I guarantee it.
Okay. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion,
amen,
making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen and amen. Everybody put your hands out like this and say, Lord, I sow tonight.
Lord, I sow tonight.
My time, my talent, and my treasure.
My time, my talent, and my treasure.
And I received a hundredfold return.
And I received a hundredfold return.
That you promised for my life.
That you promised for my life.
Because I want to use it to preach the gospel.
Because I want to use it to preach the gospel.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Before you come.
Before you come.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I receive it. Amen.
I receive it.
I don't want nothing of mine stored up in heaven that's supposed to be used on earth. I want to preach the gospel in every known voice available, everything that's possible, so we can reach everybody that we can for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for being our partner and our friend. Brother Dan, it's good to have you with us. Sister Rebecca, God bless you. God bless all of our friends that join us over there on Facebook. Sister Sunday, thank you for holding down YouTube for us over there tonight. And we're glad that you're there, always helping us. Sister Leanne, thank you for stopping by. And Brother Dan, Sister Kathy, Sister Phyllis, and then all of you who will come in the future. And we don't know you, and you don't give us your name. We bless you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you, and we want to be a blessing to you. Come on back. Make sure you go by our YouTube channel. I got lots of playlists of sermons that you can go to. It's just my name. Everything I do has my name on it, so it's easy to find. You might not remember the name of the church, but you'll always remember my name, Samuel J. Cotton. And I'm going to always remember your name as soon as I know it. Till we see you again. This is what we have to say. Remember this. You ready, guys? Wait, we got to get the Zoomers with us. One, two. There, we got them. We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you. And Jesus
is Lord.
Have a good night. All the way from Louisiana, North Carolina, Michigan, North Dakota. That's a big old circle right there. Malaysia and Africa and Pakistan and all of our friends around the world, wherever you may be, we bless you tonight. In Jesus' name. Here we go.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. See you tomorrow for noon prayer.
I'm off.